of the Spirit, amen, and pray and bind and decree, amen, and I'm telling you, man, hallelujah, God, amen, he don't allow us to come to this altar for nothing on y'all. Hallelujah. If he did it before, he will do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're turning, amen, hallelujah, to the books in the Bible, amen, we just want to give you an update, amen, on Operation 1801, amen. Hallelujah. The next door property that we are in the process of acquiring. Amen. Hallelujah. And everything is going great. Remember, the goal that we needed, amen, was 800,000. It's the 700,000 plus the 100,000 for the cleanup. Amen. And my wife, amen, while we was worshiping, the worship team was up here. She said, I saw the demolition. I saw the demolition ball. I saw the wrecking ball. She said, I saw it. And God's going to begin to release vision like that. Amen. While I was driving up, amen, I was thinking about passing up my normal entrance because I was going next door. He's going to begin to release vision. So if ever I'm running late, I'm trying to get into another place. I done made the wrong turn because I'm already driving over there. Ooh, God, have mercy. So it's 800 total, amen, but just for the property is 700, amen. Now, listen, since last Tuesday when Brother Hill went prophetic and told y'all before I wanted to tell y'all what was going on, amen, we've already, just in 1 week, collected, amen, what is that, $16,366 for it? Amen. Just in 1 week. And we never really made a formal announcement, amen, and I'm going to make all the videos and do what I need to do, amen, this week. And so, amen, that's we believe in God, that even is going to go up. And so the balance right now is $683,000 and a little bit of change, amen, just a little bit of change, all right? So we needed 700 people, amen, that's just for the building, 800 in total, but 700 people. Now we only need 684 people. Only 684 people out of the 44 million Hebrews that's in the North American area. 44 million. The millions that's in Europe, that's tuning in, watching, those that's calling us and sending us letters from on my spirit is North Carolina. Amen. California. Houston is on fire. Atlanta's on fire. Amen. You see, I believe in those cities alone. One city like that, there's 684 Hebrews. So in my spirit, Grace was, we was on the way over here, and she prayed. She said, Lord, but when you do the building, she said, do it like you did the loaves and the fish. She said, let there be leftover. Let it be baskets leftover. And let me tell you, after we buy the property, the leftover's going to build the building. In the mighty name. You hear me, Pastor Jay? I'm telling you, hallelujah. It's not because we special, it's because he's special. Woo! So listen, every Tuesday and Sunday, I'm coming with an update. I'm talking about complete transparency. I don't care if somebody get $5. I'm coming and letting you know what's going on. All right? And people giving. People are giving. They don't even come to this church, and they dropping $1,000. Look, bam, bam. And they give it. Hallelujah. And God is blessing. Amen. We had one family already call us and told us, look, we just gave it. And God done opened up the doors already for us. And we getting, he done opened it up already for us. And so we believe in, amen, that is good ground. Amen. So how many people we need now to give $1,000 each? 684. You see what I'm saying? That's it. That's for the building, amen, and the land. That's it. Not a lot of people at all. And so, amen, just keep praying and keep seeking the Lord. And as God give it to you, amen, come bring it to the house of God. If you get it in your hand and you're scared, come during the week. The deacon's going to be here. The minister's going to be here. If you get it and you're scared, come during the week. Just come on during the week. Just come on. I done had that happen before. They didn't call me Sierra before. Pastor, I got it. Meet me over there. I met some over there. Meet me at Lowe's. I'm coming. Because like my grandpa used to say, we got work to do. Woo! All right, Pastor, you better get to what you got to do. Love, you got any announcements? You got any? Go, all right. I'm sweating up in here, boy. Y'all got the presence up in here. So as we look at Hebrews 2 in verse 5, we're going to read, get a little word. We got a little feeling of the Holy Ghost, a little anointing, a little prayer, a little declaration. Let's get a little word. Anybody want a little word before we go? Amen. In Hebrews 2 in verse 5, amen, we start off. And I'm going to read to about verse 9, and we're going to finish right there. The Bible says, "For unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. And didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Come on, give God some glory for that. We thank you for your word. And Father, with that clap of praise, we send up a prayer that you would increase and I would decrease, and that you would bless us, King, in your word. Father, you'd bless us in your way. Bring a word to your people. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right, saints, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Had a dream last night, amen. And I was here in church, and I was trying to get some things done on my own. And in the dream, amen, hallelujah, the church began to stand up. And in the dream, amen, while I'm standing, the church began to stand up and just come around me. And as they was coming around me, I felt the Lord was saying, amen, you ain't got to do this by yourself. You ain't got to do this by yourself. There's people that's on board here. There's people who are with you, gonna roll with you, fight with you, build with you. Amen. Hallelujah. I couldn't see faces, but I knew it was y'all. We was in this building. We was in this building, and you was rallying around, and hallelujah. How many people feel that way that we won up in here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews, saints, we've been talking about a very unique and special book. It's the only New Testament book, amen, that is exclusively written to the Hebrews. Amen. All of the Old Testament was written to us, but in the New Testament, amen, the New Testament was written, amen, to a lot of different groups of people, because the gospel had led in everybody, amen, through the cross of Christ. However, God felt in his sovereignty, amen, that the Hebrews needed a book, amen, because we were going through persecution, we were going through trials, and a lot of us in that day were letting go of the faith, amen, letting go of the new covenant, going back to the law, going back to the old covenant. It was because of the pressure, amen, it's because of the persecution. And so God in his sovereignty knew, amen, because of the pressures, amen, that we would need a little bit of help. And so God wrote a book, the book of Hebrews, amen, to encourage us to stay in the faith, to never let go of Yahshua Jesus Christ, amen, and to never let go of the cross of Calvary. Last time we looked at chapter 1, and we were talking about how the new covenant is so much better than the old covenant because we have a better messenger. And our messenger, the writer of Hebrews, was saying that he's better than the prophets, whether it's Moses, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Micah, Habakkuk. Whatever prophet you want to put on the side of him, Yahshua Jesus is better than that. Come on, tell your neighbor he's better than that. That's right. But he's not only better than the prophets, he's better than the angels. And even the angels have declared that, amen. The angels say, don't worship me, worship him. You understand what I'm saying? And whether it's Michael, whether it's Gabriel, amen, whether it's any of the angels, amen, on the good side, they will declare, there's no one like the Son of God. There's no one like Yeshua Jesus. We said last time, amen, that this covenant was brought by so much of an awesome messenger that we need to pay attention to it. We need to study it. We need to guard it. We need to take heed unto it, lest at any time we drift away. And so we could never get tired or bored with the gospel, with the cross, amen. We got to keep it at the forefront of our eyes. We got to attach it to our eyelids. We got to tell it to our children every day, every night. We got to pray it in church. We got to preach it in church. And they're wondering what the secret is about Philadelphia. The secret, besides prayer, amen, and the love that's in here, is that we preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And wherever the gospel is preached, there will be power. There will be conversions. There will be a church that's living. And people coming into the church, churches only die when the gospel is not preached. How you going to be a dead church with a living Savior? There's no way that you can do that unless some way you stop preaching him. And I come from the lineage, amen, of Charles Spurgeon, where in every sermon, just like every road lead to Rome, every sermon got to lead to the cross. You see what I'm saying? So tonight, amen, we pick up in chapter 2 around verse 5 and we'll move on down to maybe verse 9. And we'll have 3 points tonight. The writer of Hebrews wants to continue to stress the superiority of the new covenant that we've been so blessed to be in. Amen. And he wants to take us to school tonight, the writer of Hebrews. He wants to take us to school. He wants to give us a college course, a seminary lesson. Amen. And it's 3 points that I have in this message. I'm only thinking, minister, we're going to get to 2 of them. Amen. He wants to teach us tonight about anthropology, which is the study of man. Christology, which is the study of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And then he's going to teach us a little bit about theology, which is the study of God the Father and his plan for all of his creation. So they're going to take us to school tonight, y'all. Anybody ready to learn some things? Thank you, Lord God. And all of these things will show us that the new covenant is superior. Whether we study man, we study Christ, or we study the Father, is going to show us that the new covenant is where you want to be. First point, anthropology. We get it from the first few verses. It says, for unto the angels had he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. None of the angels have the promise of the world to come being under them. Only Yeshua Jesus has that promise. In verse 6, amen, he tells us, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? After reasserting the superiority of Christ over the angels, the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 8:4. He says, what's man that thou art mindful of him? And he's asking a question, amen, that's very important, right? If we had to put it in our terms, we would say, God, why you think about us so much? Why you think about us so much? Huh? Why do you care for us so much? Why do you provide for us like you do? Why do you protect us like you do? Why when we're on the road and we're about to roll off the road, amen, you reach down your ever-loving arm and get the wheel straight back on the highway? Why do you do the things that you do? Why when we have nothing to eat, Lord God, and the refrigerator is empty looking back at us when we look at it? Lo and behold, some kind of way you make a way. Don't know how, but you did it. You make a way to provide something for us and our children to eat. I don't know about you, but I done been there before. Where there's nothing in the cupboard. There's nothing in the pantry. There's nothing in the cabinets. And then had a brother drive from Lafayette while I'm in law school in Baton Rouge, drive from Lafayette with groceries in his hand. You see? Brother gone right now, but I ain't never forget that God was using him. How you come from Lafayette? Don't know how, but you did it. God, why you care for us like you do? Why you love us like you do? Why you provide for us like you do? Protect us like you do. God, the gun didn't go off when it was supposed to. Why you do the things you do? And when you do those things, we may not always be in the right, but you still do what you do. What art man that thou art mindful of him? You see, why you heal me when I'm sick, Lord? Why you help me up when I'm down? Why you counsel me when I'm depressed? Why you favor me when everything else is stacked up against me, but you allow the ball to bounce my way? Why you do the things you do, Lord? When you know my frame, when you know that I'm nothing but dust, when you know my rising up and my going down, when you know the thoughts of my heart, when you know when I get mad, how I act on the inside when nobody else sees, when you know, God, hey, God, my thoughts, what I'm thinking and what I'm struggling with. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And not just that, he goes, he says, hallelujah, and the son of man, which are the children of men, that thou visitest them. Because it's one thing to help somebody out, but it's another thing to stop by to do it. Hey, God, that you visit me. That you visit me. You sit so high, but you look down so low, Lord God. And you come and see about me. When I'm sick and when I'm broke, when I'm locked up in that jail, when I'm in that trouble, when I'm in that danger, when I'm crying, when I'm lonely, you the brother, you the one that sits closer than a brother. You come by and you see about me. Whether there's a word from a friend, a family member, whether there's a word I get in church, whether it's when I open my Bible and you give me a verse that speaks to me. Why would you do the things you do and come and visit me? What is man that thou art mindful of him? God, don't you know that man is a sinner? Don't you know when a man know right, amen, he still sometimes do the wrong he know that he should not be doing? What is man that thou art mindful of him? Verse 7, he says, thou madest him a little lower. Somebody say a little lower. A little lower than the angels. You see, the writer of Hebrews goes back to creation to fully apprise us of the subject of anthropology. He says, if you're going to study man, you got to go back to where God made him. He says, you made him a little lower than the angels. You see, he made man a lesser creature than the angels. Did you know that? Amen. Man is a lesser creation than the angelic hosts. What you mean by that, listen, let's just be real up in here. If you know anything about angels, and if you just studied the wicked angel, the rogue angel that's doing his thing in here, you would understand that we made lower than the angels. We are, right? Lower in what way, Pastor? In almost every way, actually. When he made man lower than the angel, he made man lower in intelligence than the angels. Lower in strength than the angels. Lower in beauty in the angels. Because you see, one angel is slave over 100,000 men. You got to understand, lower in strength. Lower in beauty. Lower in glory. You see what I'm saying? We must understand that we were originally made lower than the angels. We were limited, y'all, in a lot of the ways that they were unlimited. Limited in knowledge, mobility, and power. John MacArthur says that the angels were given supernatural abilities of strength and speed and the ability to change form at will, and we were not given that. While they fly, we are grounded. Anybody hear me up in here? While they have continual and unfettered access to the throne room of God, the way was shut for us till a waymaker came. Anybody hear me up in here? While the angels don't age and are not subject to time, all we got to do is just wait a while and look in the mirror every now and then, and we're going to see the effects of time upon us. You see, Brandon, the same Gabriel who was talking to Daniel while he was in Babylon was the same Gabriel that visited Mary hundreds of years later. And he had not changed. It was the same Gabriel. And so many people and generations had come and gone, but Gabriel had stayed the same. He made us a little lower than the angels. And the last way that I'm going to cover, at least, he made us lower than the angels. Angels don't die. Angels don't die. You don't hear of an angel dying. Even in the end, amen, they're going to suffer death, but it's going to be an eternal death in hell and in the lake of fire. They don't actually cease to exist, is what I'm saying. We die. Angels don't die. We were made a little lower than the angels. But I'm so glad that the Bible don't stop there. He says, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Y'all all right studying a little bit? See, even though he made us lower than the angels, the Bible says that God still crowned us. He still crowned us. What you mean? Well, God made a splendor about man when he made him in the garden. You see, man was the crown of God's creation on earth. He was the very image of God. When you would look at man, you would see God. Amen. He was the representative of God on earth, hallelujah, above anything else that was on the earth. He was the crown of creation, the capstone of it. His body and his soul, amen, was a wonder. Huh? He could be in one world in the physical, but he was made in such an image of God that he could communicate with both worlds being in one. His soul could communicate with heaven, but his body could negotiate the things on the earth. He was a wonder. He was a wonder. He was a wonder. God had crowned him not only with an awesome body and an awesome soul, amen. God had given him supernatural abilities in the sense that he could communicate, he could read, he could write, he could invent. No other animals, amen, could do those type of things. He could make choices, like Passion say, make the right choice. Man was able to make choices, moral decisions. So God had crowned him, y'all. But God not only crowned him, he honored man in the garden as well. Y'all not tired studying about man for a second. He crowned him. What did he crown him? He crowned him with all these things, but he honored him. How did he honor him? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says this, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. You see? In spite of the superiority of the angels, God put everything on earth under the authority of Adam, of man, and of Eve. He was to keep the earth. He was to till it. He was to tend it. Amen. He was to bring God's way on earth as it is in heaven. He was the representative. Anybody hear me up in here? He was the representative. The Bible tells us he left nothing that was not put under him in verse 8. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. I'm talking about all the plants, all the animals. I'm talking about the vegetables, the okra, everything was under Adam control. And let me tell you something. It wasn't until the curse to where Adam had to work by the sweat of his brow. You see? See, I believe that the earth yielded things to Adam differently than it yields to us right now. I think that since the earth and everything else was in subjection to Adam, Adam could do like Christ. You remember when Christ cursed the fig tree, amen, operating in authority, amen. I'm going to talk about it in a second. But hallelujah, Adam had that type of authority. They all listened to him. They all listened to him. In fact, when you read the historical books, amen, some of the books even talk about the animals could understand him. And he could understand them. He had dominion. How else you think that Eve wasn't surprised that the serpent came and talked to her? But it was all under him. You see? And we knew he was over the animals, amen, because, hallelujah, he named the animals. You see, when you name something, you have authority over it. That's why you name your children. You have authority over it. That's why Jesus, when he would come, he would change the name of people. That's why God would say, you're not Abram, you're Abraham. You're not Jacob, you're Israel. Hey, God, when you name something, you have authority over it. So Adam showed his authority over the animals because he looked at one and he said, boy, you look like a hippopotamus. And look at the neck on that thing. You a giraffe. You know what I'm saying? You got an aggravated and you a parrot. You fast, you a cheater. You know? And so he names him, you see? I want to tell you, even the serpent and the fallen angels who were banished to the earth were subject to Adam's authority. Were subject to Adam's authority. He gave him authority over all the earth, and the devil was cast down at that point. So he had fallen under Adam's jurisdiction. You see? And that's why he didn't come to Adam head up. He didn't come to his head. He took the back door to come to Adam. All right? He came through Adam's liaison. He came through Adam's, hallelujah, if Adam is the CEO, he came through Adam's CAO. He came through the back door. He didn't come man to man with Adam. You see? Adam had authority over him. You see? That was mankind's original authority, which was given unto us by God. And the writer of Hebrews in verse 8, he ends that verse with a little sentence. And that little sentence is something that he don't even want to talk about. It's something that he writes with a heavy heart. You know, sometimes when you don't want to talk about something, you use the least words possible to talk about it. So in verse 8, he's talking about our authority and how great everything was in paradise. Amen. But at the end of the verse, he's going to talk about how paradise was lost. He's going to say, this is the way it was. Hallelujah, Cousin Donna. He says, but we don't see it like that now. He said, but now we see not yet all things put under him. Everything was in subjection. But now we don't see that because something happened. Pastor, what happened? The fall happened. Satan happened. Sin happened. And when sin happened, y'all, Adam forfeited his rights of authority. He forfeited it first to sin. You see, because you got to understand, sin wants dominion. And anybody who does sin is a slave to sin. So when, oh, God have mercy. So the Bible said that, hallelujah, God told, hallelujah, listen, he told Cain, he said, Cain, sin crouched at the door. And it wants to have dominion over you, mastery over you. So that's why you shouldn't sin easily, because when you sin easily, sin, hallelujah, though it look like a pin, by the time it's finished, it's going to wrap all over your arm and grab your head and grab your heart and try to make you the slave of it. Well, when Adam sinned, sin became the boss. Sin had dominion, Romans 5, see. Sin reigned, Romans 5, see. You see? And when sin reigns, sin brings some things with it. The Bible said, when the wicked are in authority, the people mourn. When sin reigns, sin brings some things with it. You see, before sin, there was no death. So it's the wages of sin is debt. Debt, sin when it's finished brings debt. Sin brought debt. Come on, y'all. We got a new place. We could do our thing. When sin reigned, it didn't bring debt. It brought disease because there was no sickness in the garden. No cancer, no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no nothing like that. The tree of life was in that. And its fruit, the healing to the nations. Oh, God. For a little nugget for you, the tree of life is still there. And in the end, God going to make his leaves and his fruit healing to us once again. Anybody hear me up in here? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me now. You see? And so sin reigns. Now, when sin reigns, you got to understand, amen, that sin is a tool of the devil. So sin is reigning, but sin do what the devil say to do. And so not only is sin reigning, but the sin's partner, sin's boss is reigning too. Who's sin's boss? Satan. He was a murderer from the beginning, who abode not in the truth. And so that's why Jesus calls him now the God of this age. Jesus calls him the prince of this world. And that's why when he tempted our Lord, he looked at our Lord, he said, I'll give you all the kingdoms. How in the world are you going to give me all the kingdoms? Because I have Adam's authority that he forfeited. Adam had the dominion. I have it now. Me and sin running this place. You see? Anybody interested in studying a little anthropology tonight? We're studying about man. The author of Hebrews said, if you want to know about man, you got to go back to the beginning. You got to see what God gave him. You got to see how he lost it. And you got to see who have it. And you will understand everything that we're going through right now. Because we're not in authority no more. And let me tell you something. When the head of something falls, everything that's under the head falls with it. That's why when you injure, amen, this vital place right here, when you injure this vital place, the control center, the head, hey, listen, ain't nothing else ain't working. Nothing else working. Nothing else working. If this goes out, nothing else working. You see what I'm saying? You smite the shepherd, the head, and the sheep, the body, gonna scatter. You hear what I'm saying here? Adam was a head, a federal head. And when the devil took him out, he not only took out Adam, he took out everything that was connected to Adam and everything that Adam was head over. Well, what was Adam head over? Everything. So when Adam fell, all of creation fell. The plants fell. The animals fell. And the Bible says because of Adam's fall, the whole creation groaned under the bondage of sin and of Satan. The whole creation fell with Adam, y'all. And it groaned until the revelation of the sons of God, when God is going to redeem us and redeem the whole world, hallelujah, and make all things new. See, the whole earth is suffering decay and the rudiments of sin and death. You see? The whole creation fell with him. And it was a bad situation. But I thank God tonight, hallelujah, that it's not over until God says it's over. Anybody hear me up in here? He tells us in verse 8, it's not like it used to be, and we fell, and everything else is under bondage. But by the time we get to verse 9, hallelujah, he says, but we see Jesus. Woo! We had lost it all. Paradise was lost. He said, but we see Jesus. Had the authority, had dominion, hallelujah, had it all, and we, hallelujah, devil took it away. But we see Jesus. Animals not listening to us no more. Plants not listening to us no more. Hallelujah. Sin is reigning. Sickness is going on everywhere. Hallelujah. It looked like all is lost, but we see Jesus. You see, Yahshua came to earth. And I love what Isaiah 59 does, y'all. If y'all got just a little bit of time with me. Soundboard, I'm going to skip around Isaiah 59. If you could just watch me for a second. Because in Isaiah 59, first, God is going to tell us about our situation. And then he's going to talk about, amen, hallelujah, the intervention, divine intervention. He says in verse 1, he says of 59, he says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. No matter how deep you fall into a hole, God's hand can reach down and get you. Anybody hear me up in here? What is man that thou art mindful of him? You see, Adam fell, but he didn't fall far enough. He didn't fall far, too far from the outstretched hand of God. He says, my hand is not short that I can't see. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He says, but the reality of your situation is this in verse 2. But your iniquities, if you had to just look around and see what's going on, he says, your iniquities, because of the fall, have separated you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And this is our natural condition before we save. Our sin, y'all, stops us from being in relationship with God. It stops the blessing in our lives. It stops us not only from being in relationship, but it stops us from going into heaven to live with him when it's all over. It's sin is the problem. You see? And God is telling us this. So before he do anything for you, he got to properly diagnose you so you can know what the problem is. Sin is the problem. And so they're going about trying to do right to please God, never handling the situation with sin. You ain't doing nothing but trying to clean a clean glass with a dirty napkin. The problem is sin. What kind of sins? He says in verse 3, your hands are defiled with blood. Your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue had muttered perverseness. Oh, goodness. I'm telling you, I'm hitting people in here, hitting myself too. Because these are some of the things we grew up doing. Verse 4, none calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They plot and plan sin instead of plot and plan purity. Let's go to verse 7. He says, their feet run to evil. Oh, that was me. Oh, before salvation. Well, y'all want to meet that? I'm coming. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their path. The way of peace they know not. And there is no justice or judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Verse 9, therefore justice and judgment are far from us. Neither doth justice overtake us. I love the way the prophet, he's talking in the third person on first, where he's talking about other people. Then he includes himself because he knows that there's none righteous, no, not one. And he falls into this category like he says in Isaiah 6. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm a man of unclean lips. He says, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold, obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness because of the fall and because of Satan. In verse 10, we grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places, and though we are alive in the spirit, we are as dead men. Verse 11, we roar all like bears, mourn like doves, mourn so like doves. We look for justice and judgment, but there is none. We look for salvation, but it is far from us. Our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. We know what we're doing wrong. Verse 15, come on, just stay with me for a second. 15, yea, truth faileth. Ain't too many people telling the truth out there. And he that departed from evil, when we try to do right, make it himself prey. People come after us when we try to do right. They come after us. They want to hurt us when we just trying to live right. That's the state of man. And the Bible says the Lord saw it. And it displeased him that there was no justice, no judgment. And in verse 16, look what he says. He says, and he saw that there was no man. God said they've fallen and this is their state. We got to send somebody to help them. God picked up the phone, but 911 wasn't answering. He said, who are we going to send? He says, man. He looked, the Bible said, listen. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor, no mediator, no go-between, nobody to stand in the gap for a fallen man and a holy God. He says, therefore, since there was nobody, his own arm brought salvation. God rolled up his sleeves and he said, if ain't nobody worthy, nobody can do it, I'm coming myself. But we see Jesus, Hebrews says. But we see Jesus, Hebrews says. Christology, Yahshua HaMashiach. Yeah, anthropology was messed up, but thank God for Christology tonight. His own arm brought salvation unto him. His own righteousness sustains him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate. He put on a helmet of salvation upon his head. You see, you read that in Ephesians, and you think Paul just made that up. Like God did. No, no, no. Paul said put on the armor of God because it's God's armor. He put it on first when he came down to see about us. But we see Jesus. We had fallen. We was in the hole. We was in darkness, Montgomery. But we look up, and when all was gone, we see Jesus coming to get us. We see him coming to get us with the armor of God. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and clad with zeal as a cloak. Listen, in verse 19, he says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rising of the sun. See, God knew that we were surrounded. He knew that the enemy had got us, y'all. But when the enemy come in like a flood, you see, now you know what this scripture is talking about. It's talking about the fall and how the state we was in. You see, we say it all the time, but now you know the context. You see, because the enemy had flooded the garden. The enemy had flooded Adam and Eve. The enemy had flooded us, hallelujah, with Cain and Abel. The enemy had flooded Seth and flooded Enoch and flooded Abraham. But when the enemy flooded, when he flooded David and he flooded Solomon, when the enemy came in like a flood and all mankind was lost and on their way to hell, the Lord lifted up a standard against them. Hallelujah. The Lord came. The Lord came. The Lord, I don't know about y'all, it just make me excited. The Lord shall lift up a standard. And the Redeemer, Isaiah say, prophesying, the Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. The writer of Hebrews said we was in a bad state, but we see Jesus. He says about Jesus, he was made a little lower than the angels. This is talking about the condescension of Christ. I was about to say condensation. No, it's not when water get on something that was dry. It's not condensation, it's condescension. Speaking of his humiliation, of him being very God and humbling himself to come all the way down to earth. Now, this is good, Brian, you see, because when he came down, he passed up so many things to come down. That's what Hebrews is telling us. He didn't become an angel. No. He passed up the angels. He was made lower than the angels. You see, to understand the beauty of the new covenant, you had to have understood, amen, where man was. You see, you can't understand how far down Christ came until you understand where man was and where he at. You understand what I'm saying? He's at the top, y'all. He's second to none, y'all. The angels came behold him. They came step where he at. They got a fly with six wings. But the Bible says our Lord got up off his throne. He said, I'm going to take care of this myself, Kev. And how did he come? Did he come down as an angel? No, he was made lower than the angels. He entered time and space. He subjected himself to get old. Angels don't get old. God don't get old. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's the self-existent one. He's the omnipresent one. He's the omnipotent one. God don't get old. He dwells in eternity. How you gonna get old when you invented time? How you gonna get old? You can't get old. Oh, he tell him, I'm the Lord that change it not. The earth may wax old like a garment, but not me, God said. Why they call him the one who was and is to come. They call him the Ancient of Days, the one who have no beginning of days nor end of years. Y'all know what I'm saying. But what did he do? He entered time. I'm going to get old. My knees going to hurt. I'm going to suffer hunger and thirst. I'm going to suffer pain. I'm going to weep and cry. I'm going to suffer the blasphemy of wicked men calling me Beelzebub and telling me I got a demon. I got a demon? Jesus is telling them boys? Boy, that's why, they'd have been in trouble yet, T, if that was me or you. That had to have been Jesus. I'd have been so smart. I got a demon. I'd have read him from his birth. Boy, when you was born. All the way till that day. I told him off for 2 hours. All right. But he humbled himself. So the Bible say, amen, but we see Jesus, he was made a little lower than the angels. Why was he made a little lower than the angels? For the suffering of death. Remember, angels don't die. So in order to suffer death, he had to become a man. You see it there in the scripture? All right, he had to become a man to suffer death. He couldn't die as God. He couldn't die as an angel. He had to become a man to die. Why was dying so important? Because the wages of sin is death. And without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. To save us, he had to die. To die, he had to become a man. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! But we see Jesus, who was made Lord and the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Let's skip that for a second. We'll save that for the end. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death. Not for himself, but for every man. He tasted death. He just tasted it, Jen and Jenna, because death couldn't hold him down. He can only get a taste of it because it couldn't hold him. Old Brian singing up in there. You are the risen king. It couldn't hold him. He was too holy and too righteous, obedient and perfect in all of his ways. Even when he died, he had to get up because he had no sin in him. Even when he died for sin, it was a righteous and obedient. Oh, you ain't ready for this. Even when he died, even when he became sin, who knew no sin, he was obeying the Father when he did that. Perfect. So sin couldn't hold him. So he just tasted it. But he tasted it for every man. I love that. When we say he tasted it for every man, we're talking about something that we call vicarious atonement. The word vicarious is when somebody stands in your place. To give you an example of it, amen, if you drove a car here and you have insurance, because some may not have insurance tonight, but no, we decreeing you got insurance in Jesus' name. So for all of us with insurance, your insurer has what's called vicarious liability. That means that when you get in a wreck, when you cause damage, when you mess up, when they bring you to court and you stand before the judge, the insurer move you out the way and say, I got that. I'm going to stand in there instead. I'm going to pay for the damages that they cause. It's called vicarious liability. And that's why they have the little things, you're in good hands with all state. Like a good neighbor, stay for me. Yeah. All right. They did it too early, but it's all right. We're going there. When the Bible say he tasted death for every man, he's talking about a vicarious atonement. He was your insurer. You did the damage, but he pays the judge. Woo! You did the sin. Hallelujah. But he tasted the death. It's a vicarious atonement. And so like your insurer, we can say you're in good hands with Yahshua Jesus. Not sure. Yeah. All right. We can say, hallelujah, get a piece of the rock, not Prudential, the rock of all ages. We can say, amen, hallelujah, like a good neighbor, not State Farm. Yahshua is there. Jesus is there. Why? Because when you cause the damage, he pays for it. He tasted death for every man. He became sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with or by his stripes, we are healed. We did the damage. He suffers the wounds and the bruises. But we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. So he could taste death for every man. You see, but I love that he just tasted death. He didn't, death didn't taste him. He tasted death. And death couldn't hold him, so he rose. And so this other part says he was crowned with glory and honor. Oh, God, you see, I'm telling you, we could stay all night, but we got to go. We got to get out of here. You see, when he rose, he took captivity captive. You see, Jesus told him, you can't take the strong man good unless you are a stronger man than the strong man. The funny thing about this is, John, is that they use the same phrase, crown him with glory and honor. Wait, we saw that, though. We saw that when God made man in the beginning that you made him a little lower than angels, but you crowned him originally in the garden when we had our original state. You, God, crowned man with glory and honor, power, dominion, and authority. Now wait. So Jesus come down as a man on behalf of man, died the vicarious atonement death on behalf of man, lived the life that man couldn't live, holy like God would want him to be, obedient like God would want us to be. So he lived what we couldn't live, died what we were supposed to die, amen. But when he died, death couldn't hold him, so he rose on the third day, ascended on high, led captivity captive, walked up in the holy of holies, said, here, my son, sit out till I make your enemies your footstool, hallelujah, there, where he ever lived to make intercession for the saints. But not only that, when he rose and he ascended, the Father gave him some things. The Father crowned him with glory and with honor. Pastor, come on, tell him what it is. The same glory and honor that Adam lost. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he got it back. He got it back. He got it back. Woo! God for Yahshua Jesus. He went to the enemy's camp and he took back what he stole from me. He took back what he stole from me. Oh, y'all don't want me. Listen now. He took it back, y'all. He took the dominion and authority back. Hallelujah. Parker, what did he say in the Great Commission? All power. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What he was saying, I got the authority back, baby. I got the authority back. I got the dominion back. You ain't got to worry why you serving me, because the devil can't touch you, because I got the dominion back. And it, where you are, I am. I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places, above all power, above all dominion, above all. I got it back, I got it back, I got it back. Oh, that's a song, baby, that's a song, baby. I got it back. Because he took it back. Bible says he suffered the death, he tasted it for every man. But after that, he was crowned with glory and with honor. And while we here, y'all, amen, while God works out the details, the victory is already won. Satan is already defeated. We already got our rights and our privileges back, but there's some things that got to be worked out. The war is won. There's just some little skirmishes and battles that's taking place, but we've already won, Steve. Woo! You see? And while those little battles going on, amen, God gives us a taste of our authority back. That's why he tells us, he says, speak those things that are not as though they were. That's why he showed us when he did to that fig tree. He said, listen, you can do the same thing if you believe you have the faith size of mustard. We got to realize what he won back for us. He give us a taste of that authority. That's why he said these signs will follow those who believe. They're going to lay hands on the sick and the sick going to recover, because sickness got to obey the dominion of our second Adam, which is in Jesus Christ. That's why he said in my name, Cole. He got the dominion back. Now listen, we're going to conclude. But we see Jesus when we was in a bind. He came down. He was made a little lower than the angels. Why? So he could suffer death. Huh? He was crowned with glory and honor. He tasted death for every man. But why did he do all of that? He did it because of grace. That he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He didn't do it for you because you was good. He didn't do it for you because you was righteous or you was holy. He didn't die on the cross because you was better than anybody else. No. In fact, nothing separates us and them but him. That's all. He did it by grace. Pastor, what's grace? Unmerited favor. The best way I can explain it, amen, he did it because he's good. When we sing that song, you are good, hallelujah, you are good. He did it because he's good, his grace. And the last scripture for tonight is this. All those that's in here who may be struggling with whether they saved or not, being good enough for God, you know, whether you're fighting, amen, you're in the valley of uncertainty. Listen to Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. Through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. God saves you not because of you, but in spite of you. And all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is receive him. And he's going to give you back all the authority that Adam lost in that garden. In the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, give God some glory in this place. Hallelujah! He took it all back. He took it all back. Now listen, that don't mean you go talk to no animals, no. The creation is still subject to bondage until the whole redemption. Don't you be in that zoo running up on the line like that. I'm going to be the first one to say he was crazy. He shouldn't have done that, officer. You better wait till the war is completely over now. All the skirmishes and everything till creation is redeemed. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you for your people and how attentive they are and how they love your precepts. I thank you that they come here Tuesday and Sunday. And I thank you in advance for the miracles that you are doing in their lives, God. While they're at church, you working. Even while they're not looking, you working. Even though while they're not watching, you working. Even though they're not working sometimes, you are working. And I pray that this here, your people, you use the key of David to open doors for this people. Doors that no man can shut. And I pray that they be the most blessed people on this side of heaven again, according to your promises. If you're here, say, God, thank you for taking it all back. Thank you, Lord, for visiting us and caring about us. You already know, but I admit I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, I believe you died for me on Calvary. You were buried. And on the third day, you rose from the grave. Now, Lord, take my faith plus your grace and save my soul. Fill me with your spirit and give me dominion, authority, prosperity, and blessings. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he